Open Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, kind of an ominous event among congressmen and senators, Democratic and Republican. There has been an increase in personal threats against members of Congress. That includes the House of Representatives and the Senate. In the FEC, the Federal Election Commission passed a new rule that permits members of Congress to use campaign donations to pay for private security. In other words, that will not be income to them on which they have to pay taxes. That's the cost of going to work. That's pathetic, very, very pathetic. You had some of that before the Civil War, and that's about it. Here's some numbers. Mitt Romney reported on his financial forms that he paid $46,000 for security in the last filing period. Pat Toomey, he is a senator from Pennsylvania, Republican, lame duck. That seat's going to be at issue. But Toomey aroused a lot of ire because he didn't suck along with Trump right down the line. He said that the election was fair. It was not fair, and that it was not rigged. He paid $70,000 for security. Romney, of course, is the senator from Utah. He paid $46,000. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, member of Congress, paid $50,000 for security. She was a member of the House leadership in the Republican Party, the minority caucus leadership. She's number three. Number one is Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader. Number two is Steve Scalise of Louisiana. Number three is Liz Cheney, head of the caucus, Republican caucus from Wyoming. But she voted to impeach Donald Trump. God bless her. She really did. Over the insurrection, she has her standards. She's Dick Cheney's daughter. Dick Cheney, obviously Vice President of the United States under George W. Bush. She paid $50,000 out of her campaign account for security. Congressman Katko, K-A-T-K-O of New York. He paid $20,000. Why did he have to do that? Because he voted to impeach Donald Trump because of the insurrection. He was one of those 10 Republicans who did that. On the other hand, Democrats have had to pay too. AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, $45,000 for security from her campaign account because of right-wing nuts attacking her and threatening her. There have been death threats against her. It's intolerable. Eric Swalwell, I can't believe this one, of California. I like Eric Swalwell, but it's not like he's a lightning rod for anything, although he was an impeachment manager. $44,000 for security. I mean, that can be a security system for your home or apartment. It can also be somebody driving you to work. It can be somebody walking around with you. You know, a lot of these people in politics, and you see it in Wisconsin all the time, a politician will show up, a candidate, an incumbent, or a challenger. Go to a church picnic, stand outside of a Metro Mart shaking hands, stand outside of a Brewer game shaking hands, walking around a Labor Day picnic, you know, that kind of thing, going door to door. Well, a lot of these people don't feel comfortable doing that anymore because they get threats. And not enough of these threats are followed up on. There's been an injection of violence into our politics ever since Donald Trump in the 2016 election advocated the assassination of Hillary Clinton when he said that perhaps the Second Amendment people can take care of her. He was talked to by the Secret Service, but they didn't have the guts to arrest him. Anybody else would have been arrested because he was the Republican nominee. And they didn't want to reach that far. So when you have a Republican nominee or even a prominent individual advocating violence, you really open up the cage to a lot of wolves to escape. And that's what he did. And then he went on and he said that maybe her bodyguard should be disarmed. These are all implications of violence to Hillary Clinton. And he got away with it. Nobody said that about him. You know, we didn't say that the Second Amendment people should take care of him, or that somehow his bodyguard should be disarmed. Democrats don't do that, and that would have been wrong. So he gets away with it one way. Well, that just opened up, that absolutely opened up the floodgates. And one Republican senator said, we saw a picture of Hillary Clinton on a magazine cover, and he said, I'm surprised it doesn't have crosshairs on it. When you use words like crosshairs, disarmed security, Second Amendment people taking care, that's more than an imputation of violence. And you would be arrested in most countries for doing that against candidates. Well, that has seeped down. Mitt Romney, when he voted to convict Donald Trump over the Ukraine impeachment, he was the only Republican senator who did. He'd get on an airplane in Salt Lake City to fly to Washington. People would boo him in the terminal. Now, he's a very well-respected guy in Utah, very well-respected in a lot of organizations. And the Utah Republican Party didn't have the guts to censure him, but they talked about it, and he was booed at the airport and on the plane, very, very uncomfortable. I don't know, maybe he has to take a private plane to get to Washington now. But a lot of these people don't want to go walking around. They're recognizable. You've seen them on MSNBC and on CNN. And if they're Republicans, some of them, you've seen them on Fox. And they don't want to go walking around an airport, have some nut come after them. They don't want to go walking around, going door to door and shaking hands without somebody with them. And that is very, very sad. It's pathetic. None of that happened for over 100 years, 150 years in our politics, till Donald Trump came along. And I don't think there's any doubt that this spate of shootings, imagine how many occurred over the weekend, all over the country, four or five of them, multiple shootings, a lot of them private grievances, I understand, but the incidence of people shooting more than one person has increased, and a lot of it is simply the injection of violence. I think that it, by Trump, I think that it stimulated some police officers, very few, to shoot people for traffic offenses, shoot them in the back, others minor offenses, strangle them. Violence has been unleashed in our politics, in our policing. And a lot of it is attributable to the bad leadership and the bad example of Donald Trump. So the next time you see a politician having an escort, a kind of a beefy guy with a hearing piece in his ear, guess what? It's being paid for by his campaign account, and that's absolutely appropriate, but it's a sad commentary that you have to do that. Well, the Republican GOP, Voss, and the state Senate, Devin LeMahieu, they are saying no to marijuana in Wisconsin. Not even medical marijuana, much less recreational. Now, here's the analysis of that. They're making a big mistake. For one thing, you know, Illinois has legal marijuana. So what happens is, what do you think you do if you're in Janesville or Beloit or Racine or Kenosha or Walworth or Milwaukee or Dane County? You're probably farther afield. You dip down in Illinois. In the old days, remember, people went to Illinois to buy lottery tickets because we didn't have a lottery ticket to buy in Wisconsin. Well, now they're going to buy marijuana. And some, for instance, the Kenosha sheriff is very conservative. He's the guy that basically restored to duty the officer who shot Jacob Blake in the back seven times with no discipline whatsoever. It's disgusting. That has got to be looked at by a U.S. attorney when Biden points a new U.S. attorney in Milwaukee. But he's going to have people sitting at the border waiting to catch people coming back with weed. That's what's going to happen. Now, here's the deal. I personally, put medical marijuana aside, don't think that smoking marijuana is a good thing for people. I think that it reduces their drive and their ambition. But on the other hand, they shouldn't go to jail for it. It's a personal choice. And I think that you have people, there's disparate enforcement. Overwhelmingly poorer people get charged with crimes, misdemeanors for marijuana, even possession. Whereas people in more affluent areas get a citation or they get let go. And this is not a racial thing. Everybody goes, oh, well, it's a black and brown thing. No, it's not. It's same in rural areas. There are people in rural areas of this state who've been picked up several times for marijuana. It gets compounded into a felony. It destroys their lives. It's ridiculous. They could go to Illinois, and not just Illinois, Colorado, California, sweeping the country. You cannot be an island. GOP is an ostrich, has its head in the sand. It always has on a lot of issues. But to say that you can't even buy medical marijuana, much less recreational, and you should be able to buy both in the state, it should mirror Illinois. Now, the argument that they make is, well, right now, it's not, federal law does not permit it. Well, they're only half right. It's true. It's a substance on an index or register, but under Obama, and that's continued under Trump, and it's continued under Biden, they will not enforce it federally. Where it hurts is that if marijuana is legal in Illinois, or Colorado, which it is, or California, and you set up a business, banks won't deal with your money because they're afraid, you know, they're federally chartered. They're afraid of federal law, and their lawyers say, well, you know, you're probably okay, but you might not be, blah, blah, blah. And that's enough. The minute a lawyer says you're probably okay, but, that doesn't happen. So that has got to be changed federally, no question. But there's absolutely no question that it's flat out nuts to have it legal in Illinois, not in Wisconsin, and let some sheriffs continue to enforce it. It engenders disrespect for the law is what it does. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.